And reading this morning the concluding words in the book of Hebrews, as I'm going to mention in my sermon later, I always love, if you don't read the whole epistle, you should always read the concluding chapter of any epistle. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, so often your word seems so simple and yet is so profound. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. That seems so clear, O God, and so easy, and yet so often we struggle to welcome those who are different from ourselves. Open our hearts, O God. Open our lives. Open our hands, open our arms to welcome those who come through our doors and send us out into your world with love and with grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have very few memories of my early life on Prince Edward Island, as we moved when I was 7. But definitely my fondest memory is of our house always being full of people. We lived in a small community with lots of relatives close by. I have 45 first cousins. Come on, some of you out there must have a lot of cousins too, don't you? You know? And we lived in a small community, and it seemed the most familiar sound I heard as a small child was the swinging of that front screen door as it opened and closed. You know those lovely screen doors that catch you in the heel if you don't move quickly enough? We didn't have much money in those days, but as the saying goes, you can always throw another potato in the pot. And I'm pretty sure that's what my mother did on more than one occasion. I felt safe and loved and included as part of the community there. Now, imagine the transition when my dad became a minister in his 40s to small town New Brunswick, where we knew no one. The manse was a beautiful but enormous old home. And my sisters went off to university, leaving me alone in that huge old home with my aged parents. Well, I mean, they were in their 40s. That was old in those days. There were only one or two people who dared to come visit the minister's family on a regular basis. And so other than their visits, we were isolated and very alone. Now, I don't harbor any resentment at all toward the people of that small village because they were all lovely. Over time, we came to know each other, and I developed deep and enduring friendships with some that continue to this day. But I never really felt at home and surrounded by the love I had felt in my early years. It's just, you know, we all find it easiest to be friendly to those with whom we already have a rapport, a relationship. Not that we always have the tightest bond, mind you, with cousins and with next door neighbors, but generally speaking, we still find it easier to include those we know best with whom we have some sort of natural bond. And in a small town, I can tell you, the minister isn't high on the list of people you want to hang out with on a Saturday night. But Christian hospitality goes way beyond being nice to those we know and like. Christian hospitality is a way of life. It's a choice, sometimes, between remaining within the comfort of your own friends, your own kind, or risking reaching out to the other. The danger always of a church that identifies itself as a friendly church is that it may only mean we love and look after each other. So as long as you're one of us or like us, you'll get a high level of care and attention. I often, in fact, explain that to newcomers. St. John's is a wonderful congregation, I say. I have found them to be very welcoming and supportive. I hope you'll find the same welcome I have experienced. Because, you know, I can never make promises on behalf of anyone else about how warmly they will welcome the stranger, the one who is different from them. I mentioned before the reading this morning that I love to read the concluding chapter of any epistle, because they all essentially read the same. I think it's sort of like that two-hour car ride to drop off your kid at university for the first time. Some of you will remember those days. For the first hour and 45 minutes, it's just casual chit-chat about anything at all. And then in those last 15 minutes, you try to cram in all of the advice that you've been holding in your heart for the 20 years you've been bringing them up. And it doesn't always come out in an organized fashion. Make sure you don't party too much. Hang out with the right crowd. Get some exercise every day. Don't get anyone pregnant. Find a church to call home. Just be nice. Be kind. All of those things you've been wanting to say, all of your pent-up advice comes pouring out in no particular order. And it's sort of like that with our reading from Hebrews today, isn't it? Don't forget to be hospitable to the stranger. Be satisfied with what you have. Respect your leaders. Don't have an affair. Don't forget about those in prison. Be gracious and kind. Be hospitable. Just be good people. It's kind of interesting, actually, that people in the early church also had to be reminded of the need to be hospitable. But then I suppose the challenge was, for those who had already adopted this new faith, to find a place for those who brought with them their old ways and traditions, the ways of the world, things pagan and secular. And their issue with hospitality just reflects the fact that it's human nature to want to be with those who love us. We want to be where we feel at home. It's not always so easy to carve out that space for the newcomer, to risk the change that is inevitable when we embrace new faces, new ideas, or as they say on Prince Edward Island, those from away. I was looking over some notes from a sabbatical project I undertook in 2007, and part of my research was to attend worship every week in a different congregation to research various things, among them hospitality. Some were great, some didn't rate very high. I remember walking into one church with a dripping wet umbrella, and I found the greeters engrossed in their own conversations, completely oblivious to the newcomer. Sometimes churches had outdated websites, so I couldn't find the correct time of worship, or I had no idea who the preacher was. But in one that I have visited again and again, there were parking spots clearly designated for Sunday morning visitors. There were ushers whose job it was to watch those parking spots and to welcome those visitors. There were people who took me to coffee hour to introduce me to others and to the minister. Actually, that's where I had to confess that they weren't going to gain a new member because my son had dated the minister's daughter and there was no more anonymity. But you know, even then the hospitality continued. The roadblocks to being hospitable are numerous. We're shy, we don't find it easy to extend our hands and hearts in hospitality and in welcoming the strangers, because it also means we open the door for change. Not all visitors are going to be our type, so to speak. It's an age-old problem, and obviously, probably more important now, more than ever, that we open our arms and our hearts, ready to risk the discomfort, the change, the transformation that usually comes with opening the circle wider. We live in a time in the Christian church when we cannot afford not to be hospitable. We need fresh blood. We need new ideas. We need change and renewal. We cannot afford to ever say, "We're fine, thanks. We don't need you." There must be a place for everyone at the table, and whether or not we've ever eaten the food they bring to the potluck, we will put it on our plate, and our taste buds will adapt. Oh, and if we read that passage from Hebrews carefully again, we'll take note that hospitality is not just about welcoming in. It's not just about sitting here and waiting for people to come through our doors. Hospitality, the Christian type, is about going out to where the pain and the hurt exists. It's remembering the hungry. It's remembering the imprisoned. It's about being in the midst of the brokenness of the world as an agent of God's love and light and justice and peace. It's about finding a way to ensure that someday, no children in Oakville will live below the poverty line or go to school hungry. Well, it's been a fun trip through the book of Hebrews. At least I've had a good time. I hope you have too. There's lots of good food for thought in there. It's all about faith, and faith is a pretty amazing gift we've been granted as followers of Jesus Christ. It soothes the soul. It calms the fears. It reassures the doubters, but it also calls us. It asks us. It demands of us a living concern for others that shows forth not just in thoughts and prayers, but in a life committed to good deeds. As St. John's United Church, as much as we love our time together here, and as much as we love the good things we share here in this place, we know it's out there that we are called to make a difference, to practice hospitality in its truest sense. As the saying goes, Allons-y, let's go, let's do it.